We're going to continue our walk through the book of Matthew this morning, and we're doing that verse by verse, line by line. Today is August 24th of 2014. We're going to talk about Jesus telling parables, and we're going to cover the section of Matthew beginning at chapter 13, verse 24, and go through 43. Now, Matthew chapter 13 is a whole series of parables, and most of them are from the agricultural world. A lot of them are farming stuff. And we live in a very blessed place that this makes sense to us. I have been in places in this country and other countries where when you talk about agricultural things, it makes no common sense to people at all. They have no grasp on planting and harvesting and so forth. They've never been outside the city. And so we're kind of blessed that we get to understand this. So here's my outline. Jesus tells parables. There's a kingdom of heaven is like weeds in wheat. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Kingdom of heaven is like yeast. And last, Jesus explains the parables of the weeds in the field. I wanted to do the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and I wanted to do the explanation on them. So when you look at your outline, it's long. So it's kind of be like a football game where there's a no huddle, so don't lay your pen down because it's just going to kind of move along rapidly. When you're reading the Bible, read looking for the flow of the events of the Bible. Here Jesus is on a roll, and he tells one parable after another, and they're all meant to color each other. It's this big puzzle that he's putting together, and you don't take one piece out of the puzzle and say, oh, well, this is what we're going to build our church on, yeast. Yeast, oh, yeah. No, that's not it. Mustard, we're going to build a hot mustard church. No, you take all of them together, and it's like a big jigsaw puzzle that he's putting together. So read it for the flow. Look at the big picture as he's doing it, because all of these are components. Last week, we looked at Matthew 13, 22. Others received the seed that fell among the thorns, and those are the ones who hear the message. But the worries of this life and the false promises of wealth crowded out keep it from producing fruit. So the idea was that one could hear the gospel message, receive it, and yet do nothing with it. Now, the worries of this life and the false promises of wealth are what crowded out. And there is probably not anybody in the sound of my voice on the internet or in this building that doesn't understand the worries of this life and the false promises of wealth. All of us have our hearts and minds tugged by these things at different times. So if this was your condition, wouldn't it be nice for Jesus to explain things to you? If you were the one who was struggling with this, you don't have enough money to make it through the month, or, you know, there's different things that go on that distract you from being peaceful, or you live in the deception, if I just had more money, I'd be happy, and so forth. There's a lot of deceptions that they throw at us. So Jesus is going to explain these, and he's going to do it two different times. So today we'll talk about the weeds, and then later on in the chapter, we do it again. So the kingdom of heaven is like weeds in the wheat. Jesus wants people to see the struggles in this life. He wants us to see that there are struggles for believers. Let's start with a cast of characters in the parable. First, we have the farmer, and Jesus is going to play that part. Next, we have his field. It's his field, right? And we have his enemy. Now, this one's interesting. His weeds. But you'll notice that isn't a capital H. The enemy has things growing, too. It's not just Jesus that has wheat growing. The enemy, the devil, has weeds, and these are his weeds. And last, we have the farmer's servants, and we'll explain who they are, but this is a cast of characters. So dive into chapter 13. Here's verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and the heads formed, the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go pull them out? Nope, he answered, because while you're pulling out the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with it. Let both of them grow until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds, tie them up in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. The farmer sowed good seed. Your blank is good. Jesus sows good seed. Jesus gives truth, only truth, to them and to us. He only speaks the truth, period. So he always is sowing good seed. Every word that he spoke is the truth. And when you look at the Bible, it is all true. Now, in order to get it right, you have to go to the original languages. You can't take like one of the umpteen gazillion translations there are now and say, oh, this is the authentic authorized version. No, it's only the original Hebrew and the original Aramaic that is accurate. And they are written in such a different way than the English language. So you got to look at the good seed as coming from Jesus to them and us. Can you see a farmer and his helper sowing the seed? Can you picture a man with a seed bag? It's kind of like, you know, how you see all the young people with their bag strung across their shoulders. It's full of seed, and they walk through the field, and they throw the seed out in the prepared ground. But they walk through, and they throw it. They don't have 53-row John Deere planters like our neighbors do. They just throw it out there. Now, can you see they throw it everywhere? They fling it. And they want to cover all of the ground. So as we looked at last week, some of it falls on the path, some of it falls in the rocks, some of it falls in the thorns, some of it lands on good soil, but they throw it everywhere. So when Jesus is throwing seed, he throws it everywhere, not just in the United Brethren in Christ Church, right? He throws it all over. B, while everyone was sleeping, your blank is sleeping. Now, there's normally at least one person that takes a little nap in my sermon. So there are people that do sleep through these things. This is really a critical insight, though. No one was on guard. And I was thinking about that one day, and then that night I woke up at almost 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was wringing wet with sweat, although the air conditioning was on. My bedroom is cold. And I sit up on the edge of my bed, and there's just sweat dripping off of me all over. And the last thing I could remember someone yelling is, lock and load and light them up. And one time we were on an ambush, and, you know, it's dark. And so the three of you that are in a squad, one of you is always awake. And the other two get to lay there and nap, which as much as you can nap when you can't move. You know, you don't get to get up and go to the bathroom. If you got to go, it's like Forrest Gump. You just go. You know, you can't talk. You can't move. You just got to lay still. Well, I fell asleep. It was my turn to guard, and I woke up with a start and woke my friends up, and I thought, oh, man, that's a bad thing to do. But here's what happens. Nobody was on guard. Do Christians forget they are at war? They do. They think Christianity is this nice thing you invite Jesus into your life, and, oh, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and good-looking, and everything's going to go well, and your children aren't going to be the brats they've been, and, oh, my goodness, your job is going to change, and no. The point of this parable is we live with weeds, and we're going to live with weeds until the end of time. Our enemy likes to sneak in when it's dark and then sneak out after doing his damage. They sneak in, they sneak out while you're sleeping, while you're not paying attention. See in your outline that enemy came and then went. Came and went. See, demons don't hang around to make themselves known until someone gives them possession of their life. Demon-possessed peoples, the demons just stay and manifest themselves. But for most of us, they'll just sneak in and sneak out. They'll come and then they'll go. And that's really important to understand when you're thinking about the kingdom of God. They don't manifest themselves. They sneak in, they sneak out. Now, demons just come in, they throw a seed of an idea, then they hide and run. What they do is they watch what happens, and then they'll sneak in and plant the next seed of deception. Get it? Deception. All of their seeds are deception. Do you see? That's the only power in believers' lives is deception. Because the Holy Spirit of God owns us, they have no power or control, but they can deceive us. They run such good play fakes that you really don't see it until the guy's gone. They are great at it, and they've been doing it since the beginning of time. They're very crafty. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a lie that seems like a good idea at the time. So, D on your outline. The servants. The servants saw the problem. That's the blank. The servants. God's servants see the problem. Then they ask the master what he wants them to do. Now, it's a novel idea, but when you see a problem, rather than coming up with an idea, you ask the master, what do you want us to do with these weeds? Do you want us to go pull them out? No. Let them go. Let them go. See, relationship prayer is a solution to the weeds in your wheat. Talking to God about the weeds that you see all around you, and quite possibly things that are growing in your own garden. A relationship prayer, intimate, personal dialogue with Him, is the solution. You talk to the boss. Okay, second parable. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Matthew 13:31. That's really hard for me to do. It turns those numbers all around backwards. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it was the smallest of all his seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants. It becomes a tree. So the birds come and perch in its branches. The farmer and his field. It's his field. It's Jesus's field. Okay? Do you like the idea that Jesus likes hot mustard on his food? He grows mustard in his garden. Why else would he tell us he put it in his field? Don't be surprised next year if I try to grow mustard in my garden. Now, B on your outline. Seed is small at start, large at end. Start and end are your blanks. See, it starts out small, but ends up big in the end. Now, in the process, it's growing, but it should start out small. The kingdom of heaven starts out very small. It's just an idea or a thought, which is not very big. It's small when it starts. You remember the first time you understood God could come to live in you, that God would redeem you and indwell you with the Holy Spirit? Remember the first time you had that thought that he could do that? How big did the idea end up? Did it grow? Is it growing? It should be. It should be growing. Now, see on your outline, the end product is enjoyable and restful for others. Product. See, there is a production. And it's enjoyable, it's restful for others. The kingdom of heaven is not just for you. It's meant to help others. You see the big plant, the birds are living in its nest, and the farmer's taking a break in its shade. You know, it's meant for others, this production, this plant. So, the third parable is the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. 13:33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed into 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. Did you get that? I got a bread recipe, but it's like 3 cups. Right? 3 cups of flour. 50-pound bags of flour. I mean, you got to go to a different store to get a 50-pound bag of flour, don't you? I've been to stores where you buy 50-100-pound bags of rice and flour. But, I mean, that's just a lot, isn't it? Anybody who's ever baked anything, that's a lot of bacon without a gas oven or electric oven. You know, I mean, we're talking campfire cooking here. That's a pretty amazing thing. Now, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. Look at this one after the semicolon. He did not say anything to them without using parable. So was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. A on your outline. The woman and her work. Woman, work. Both W's. I have a friend who would love it when you do an alliterated outline that would be all W's. Anyway, the woman does her work, right? And the yeast does its work. Do you see the two? She actually puts the yeast in the dough. But then what happens is the yeast does its work. Two different, separate, succinct things. Now, a number of the commentators and authors think this is reference to the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of writers and authors and commentaries that when they look at the triune God, they see a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. Well, the Father image is pretty easy to get, right? The Son image is pretty easy to get. But the Holy Spirit is just kind of a weird deal. And so a lot of people tag it with the feminine side because it's the emotional, it's the flippity all over the place type, you know, scattered. So a lot of times they tag. And so they think Jesus is making a reference here to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doing its work, it brings the yeast into the dough, and then the yeast itself does its work. Can you see the wheat from the farmer's field has been developed into flour? You get that transition? You plant the wheat, grows to heads, you harvest it, you grind it into flour. The yeast is added, and it changes the flour, makes it into light, fluffy bread. So you take the grain, make it into flour, add the yeast, then you get bread. Then you add the hot mustard, and it changes the bread into a great lunch. Right? Isn't that the deal? I mean, when you open your lunch bag or your lunch cooler, and there's a sandwich in there with really good mustard on it, oh, man, that good bread, good mustard, and a big slab of something used to be a live animal, it makes a great lunch, right? Anyway. Do you understand that Jesus is developing a concept and giving us understanding of his kingdom? All the parables fit together into one true story. Do you get that? It's not individual stories. It's this collage that he's putting together. I was at the hospital and I walked down the hall and they had this great big picture they made out of a whole bunch of people's pictures. In one of the hallways when you make a transition from the hospital to the clinic. Jesus is building this amazing thing that it's individual snapshots put together into this large format. So it's all one big true story, and you don't just take one thing. I think I said that before, but I don't think I can say it too many times because most people don't see it. They don't get the flow. B on your outline. A small amount of yeast in a large amount of flour. Yeast changes the texture of the dough. So small and large are your blanks. And when you put yeast into that large amount of flour, does it get smaller or bigger? It gets bigger, doesn't it? It fluffs up. And if you slam the door, it falls. You know what I mean? Or if you poke it, it's all puffed up in the bowl and you walk over. Isn't that cool? I want to touch it. And it goes, so it makes it bigger, but it makes it different. In a lot of ways, it makes it more fragile until it's finished baking. So there's a process here of making the bread that one would have to look at to understand the kingdom. Most of the time, yeast or leaven is talked about in the Bible. It's an analogy for sin. Almost all the time when they talk about leaven, they talk about yeast, it's sin in your life. Now, in this, it's a positive symbol of growth. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing, which is different than a way it's used others in the Bible. Yeast looks like a minor ingredient, yet it permeates the whole loaf. When you're looking at how big a package of yeast is compared to the 3 cups of flour, it's not very big. And you don't even use the whole package of yeast to make the bread. So permeates, it changes the whole thing, although it's small. Jesus' kingdom began small, nearly invisible. It soon grew to have a great impact on the world. So, next month, I'm going to go to big church. I have a skip the line tour of the Vatican, Sistine Chapel. I paid extra money so I don't have to wait in the lines that are huge. There's a billion Catholics. Over 1 billion Catholics. That's big church, man. And, you know, I'm going to spend one whole day looking at the ancient part of Rome and one day looking at church. But that's really big church. Christ's idea, what he started when he said, Peter, we're going to change the world here, really did change the world. How many wars can you think of right now in your mind going on today that are religious wars? How many places are Christianity targets, literally? Every Christian's name is target. But it changed the whole world. And it's supposed to be still doing it. It's still supposed to be changing the world. We're supposed to be awake in the war, winning the war. See on your outline. Matthew is saying, Jesus fulfilled what was spoken of the blank, is Jesus. So the prophet, Matthew's working on his goal of showing us Jesus is Messiah, and here he's using another Old Testament passage from Psalms to prove Jesus is the one, he is the Messiah. God told King David hundreds of years before that his son, the Messiah, would be a storyteller. A storyteller. Do we tell stories like Jesus did? When we talk to people about the kingdom, do we tell them stories? Do we use parables? Do we use things that are common in this world to help them understand? Boy, I hope we're not those theological book smart people who just talk to you about, well, the Greek of this word means do, and I'm so blinking smart. Jesus just used farmers. And manure, and yeast, and weeds, and wheat. We need to tell stories to help people understand it too. We need to be storytellers. Okay, our last one is Jesus explains the weeds in the field. I wanted to get to this point because you see where it starts and it ends. So it's Matthew 13:36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, will you explain to us the parables of the weeds in the field, please? He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus, me. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. So these are the kingdom people. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will be at the end of the age. There's a scary one. The bad people go first, and we get to watch. We'll get to watch them be picked first while we just stand there waiting our turn. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom of everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They throw them into a burning furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, listen up. Let them hear. Now, his disciples get for us the explanation of the parable of the weeds in the field. And I want to say thanks, guys, who appreciate your questions, because I want to understand this, and I'm glad you asked that question. A, on the outline, Jesus is your blank. Jesus is the one who sowed the good seed. Jesus did it. And in a very practical sense, he's still the one who always does that. That's still always true. Jesus is the one who sowed the good seed. See, God, his Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are the only ones who always tell the truth. They're the only ones. Sometimes they let us be used by them, But if we do it, then it's flawed and it's dishonest from the start. It's Jesus' resurrection life in us, through us, and at best, us. At worst, the bad guys. Do you see that? If it's not Jesus' resurrection life, then best case scenario, it's just me, which is dishonest and corrupt from the start. Worst case scenario, it's some demon. But there are demons in the pulpit today. I'm positive of it. I've seen some of the television sermons. That isn't God and biblical, man. That's the bad guy prophesying all this wealth and prosperity stuff. Now, B, the field is the world. The good seed is the people of the kingdom. So your first blank is world, and the second blank is people. He's talking about real people. You and me, his disciples. Okay, the world and its people. Let's think about the world first. God created the world. He subcontracted it all to Adam and Eve, who traded all of that to the devil for the knowledge of evil. Are you with me so far? You get that? God made it perfect, flawless. Adam and Eve, perfect, flawless. And they traded it for magic beans. I mean, knowledge of evil. That's a stupid trade. But that's what happened. So now we live in a world where the powers and authorities of evil are in charge. But it's just a temp job, because soon the Lord will return. And when he returns, he'll make things like it was in the original ownership. Now, what about us, the people in the kingdom, the good seed? The seed is planted for the well-being and the pleasure of the owner of the field, right? The seed is not for itself, is it? The farmer plants the seed so he gets bread. He plants the mustard seed so he gets hot mustard for a sandwich. It's all planted for him, not for, you get that? Not for us, the people. It's all about him. The seed develops into plants that mature. Some of the grain is made into flour, and some of it years for the next planting, right? So some of the seed doesn't ever get ground up into flour. It's put in a bin, dried, kept, and next year they go out and throw that. But it's all about the farmer. So do you see your life as all for the farmer? I put on the front of your bulletin, all for Christ. Could have put it all for the farmer. Or do you see your life all for you, your comfort and pleasure? See, I get tangled up in that second one. I want life to go the way I want it to go. And there are major things in my life that don't go the way I want them to go. And I think that if it was the way I wanted it to go, I'd be more comfortable and I'd have more pleasure. But he does it right. He's the farmer. I'm just one of the seeds. I'm not a farmer. The weeds are the people of the evil one, the enemy, the devil. So people and devil. Yeah. Do you realize there are people that are sold out to the devil? Okay. Here's where the bad guys get into our story. Young wheat and weeds look the same when they're young, but when they grow, the difference becomes clear. Weeds, unbelievers, and wheat, believers, must live side by side in the world. God allows unbelievers to remain for a while, just as the farmer allowed the weeds in the field. We live near, work with unbelievers. And some of them are really rascals. That's the way it's going to be. Do you ever think of Jesus having a weedy garden? See, I try to have a weedless garden, but it's never weed-free. Jesus has weeds in his field, too. Think about that. There are evil people, evil spirits in the world where we live. That's not going to change until the end of time. It's not going to happen until he comes back. So what do? We love the people who are evil to us. We love them. We forgive them. Sometimes we don't have anything to do with them because they're evil, but we love them, right? We don't let them and what they do control our lives. We let God and his spirit, the farmer, control our lives. And we are not to love the world or the things in the world. So you get it? You love the people. You forgive the people. You pray for the people. You don't let the bad things they do mess up your life. And you do not love the stuff. Not the stuff. Not the money. Not the possessions. Not the... No. You don't let that stuff control you. 13:22, but the worries of this life, false promises of wealth crowded out, keep it from producing fruit. So do you get distracted by the evil things people do to you and you worry about things? Anybody who says no to that's probably going to have to come to the altar for confession. Do you understand that all the promises we get about money and wealth are lies? They're all lies. All of them. Money just causes more problems. It doesn't make things better. All those promises are lies. D, the harvesters is the end of the age and the harvesters are angels. So end and angels are your two blank. The end is coming soon. And the good guys, they're coming too. On magnificent horses with big swords. And they're gonna harvest the bad ones and we're going to get to watch. So the end is coming soon and the angels are coming too. Are you ready? It could be within the next 30 days. If I got it pegged right, it's the 24th of next month. When they blow the trumpet to sound the return of the king, I'm going to be standing on the Mount of Olives looking up. If it happens, I got front row seats, baby. We are to make ourselves ready by making sure our faith is sincere. See, honest, sincere, true faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Honest, sincere faith in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to accomplish these impossible things in your life. Honest, sincere faith that the Father does have it all under control. He does have it all worked out. It's not a mess. It's not unfixable. He's going to come fix it. He's going to take the world that's upside down and turn it right side up. And what's going to matter at that judgment day is what you did with Jesus. How sincere is your heart love relationship with him? Maybe we should schedule some weeding times on our lives soon. Repentance is always a good pattern. Live ready. My travel group is Yel Hallel. It means let's go. That's the people that I'm going to travel with in Israel. Let's go. Let's go get into repentance. Let's go become pilgrims. Not necessarily going to Israel and Jerusalem, but let's get our lives ready and live ready. E on your outline. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil will be thrown into the blazing fire. Everything and all are your blanks. That sounds like it'd be hell. Everything and all. All who do evil. You know, you watch people do bad stuff in your lives and you think, oh, that's terrible how it affects me and how it affects others. That's really not the deal. The bad deal is that's just temporary, like stubbing your toe. What's going to happen to those people is going to be forever anguish. Ever. We need to love them. We need to forgive them. We need to pray for them. Jesus often refers to the coming judgment. Weeping and sorrow, remorse, gnashing of teeth show extreme anxiety and pain. So remorse, gnashing of teeth, and they're in extreme anxiety and pain. People who say they don't care what happens to them after they die don't realize what they're saying. I was riding my motorcycle just side of Dubuque the other day, and I saw a motorcycle coming up fast. It was a hot rod Harley, and this young man blew by me with a really noisy, chopped-out Harley, and his MC colors on the back is, hell is our home. Motorcycle group, hell is our home. These guys don't have any idea how bad it's going to be. They'll be punished for living in selfishness and indifference to God. You and I need to watch our selfish and indifference to God. Is it sincere? F, righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. We'll shine like the righteous, like the sun. Daniel used a similar illustration to describe those he saw with God. Jesus makes a clear contrast between those who receive the favor and those who receive judgment. We all get the same chance in this life. So, my bottom line, choose wisely. If you have ears to hear, better hear. I hope you and I are the ones who hear and then obey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the illustrations, for all the parables. We're going to try to understand them, try to figure out your kingdom, try to be a meaningful, good seed-producing plant in your garden. So, nurture us, water us, cultivate us, lead us into the paths that are righteous and true. Keep our eyes on that day when we shine like the sun in your kingdom. And spend less time moping around and looking at the bad things and looking back at what's happened to us. Help us to look forward to you and your kingdom. I know you love us. I know you want us to do that. Thanks for giving us the chance. I hope we choose wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.